Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. We'll have Dr. Henry Cloud on the line also, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today for New Life.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son. He's 13 years old. He has gotten involved into pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hello, hey, Jill. Steve.
And also joining us today, and he is on the phone, and we'll be in and out on the phone with him, Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, Henry.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Hey, Henry.
At least by phone.
Yes.
Henry, we haven't talked about dating in a long time, and I'm just
Steve,
wondering.
Really?
You know,
doesn't Henry always talk about dating?
When each of us got married, we had to stop dating, you know.
I thought we did.
I thought I made that clear.
I thought it was a really good idea.
Yes.
But I think there's probably somebody out there that doesn't know we're kidding.
Yeah, right. Well, there has to be some that also don't know a couple of principles about dating that you espouse, and some people don't like them. But give us a little rundown on your philosophy of dating.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, to contextualize it in the Christian world, I actually got into that whole content world of dating really as kind of a, I'm going to call it, you know, what Bill Hybels says we get sometimes, a holy discontent, that we get something that we're kind of really bugged by enough to go do something about it. And I just saw so many Christians stuck in their dating lives because they had been taught what I felt like was an extremely unbiblical teaching, which was that they're basically not to do anything and they're going to wait on God to bring this person to them. That is against the if that's all you do, that's not the created order of the entire Bible. It's not like we would tell anybody to take stewardship over any other area of their life. You know, God will just bring you a job, sit at home, and he'll, you know, have it show up, or a church, or anything else. We have a responsibility to be in the process. And so,
that's the passive approach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very passive, and it's, you know, even if you go to the most trusting passages, like Matthew 6 says that don't worry about tomorrow, for God provides, you know, for the birds of the air. Look at how he does all this. And he does. But you know what? The mama bird kicks that bird out of the nest, and they got to go fly to where the bugs are. And God right. does feed them, but they're out there where the bugs are. And, yeah. and you know, God secured the promised land, and then Joshua had to go possess it. And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah. So almost easy to use don't do anything as an excuse to not do anything.
It really is. And then what you see is we hear on this program all the time, you see people when they do something, they don't do what's most important. And what I mean by that is the first thing they'll do is they're looking for some type or they're looking for the one. Mm-hmm. And I can promise you, you could find the best one that there is, but if your relational patterning and the way you're glued together doesn't fit with somebody healthy, then you're not going to find that one. You're going to find one that in some way fits your dysfunction. So the best thing you can do is be getting healthy.
Amen. All right, well, we'll take a break. We'll come back with your phone calls here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800, that's the number to call if you need help. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000, and we'll be back right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and let's talk to Ruby, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas. And Ruby, you're on. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
Great.
How's your life going?
It's going all right.
Okay, well, how could we help you?
Okay, a few years ago, I had a sickness that was, I had this biting sensation all over my body, and I went through that for around 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, after that, I decided to go to a psychiatrist. And they prescribed for me Zoloft and Abilify,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. And maybe about a month ago, the biting sensations came back. So my question for you guys is, well, first of all, I thought that I had fleas in my house.
Mm-hmm. Or bed bugs or something like that.
Yes. And my question for you guys is, is this some sort of chemical imbalance or maybe stress thing or what? Have you heard of it before?
Well, Ruby, did you go to a lot of different doctors or did you go to doctors?
Well, I wouldn't go to a doctor at all because
okay.
I thought something was biting me.
Oh, okay.
Bugs, and my mom stressed that I go to a doctor. I did go to a doctor, and they wanted me to go to a psychiatrist, and I did.
Okay. Did you do anything else besides get on the psychotropic medication?
No. I started taking the medication, and I was fine.
Okay. Okay.
But now they're back.
But now they're back.
Yes.
Well, and you know, I was just reading about this the other day, and there is kind of an obsessive compulsive component in many
mm-hmm.
people. In some, there is a delusional development that is there that can be fixed by medication. In some cases, they have found that there are some, I don't want to horrify you with this, but some very, very small organisms that produce that feeling. And so what you'd want to do is rule out that there is anything on the skin that might be producing those feelings.
Right.
While you're also looking into the other stuff. But have you ever, did they do any testing of your skin?
No.
Rather than just look at it?
They didn't do any testing.
But the doctor sent you to a psychiatrist.
Right. And
okay.
I told her what I was going through,
mm-hmm.
and I had gone through with it for 2 years, and I was so tired because
yeah.
I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't staying at home, but everywhere I went, in my car, at my mom's, at my daughter, the
did
bugs
you,
were there.
So, Ruby, did you notice at times it would be worse than other times, or was it constant?
Such as when you were under stress.
You know, guys, I really didn't think that I was under stress.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. One day I came home from a trip, and it was bedtime, and I got in the bed, and I started, getting bites, and I thought, wow, I must have fleas. I don't know.
Okay. And,
well, so sorry that you had to struggle with this.
And Ruby, it's just interesting that the doctor sent you to the psychiatrist and that the medication then did work. So, you know, a lot of times we manifest symptoms that, you know, I just hear stories of people going from doctor to doctor trying to get rid of physical symptoms. And then they actually go to therapy and start talking about some things. And I have seen amazing things where people who have had similar situations, skin conditions and things, where it is cleared up to the point where people are amazed at what they've done by, you know, going through the therapy process. Because so much of the time we can externalize those things that we don't deal with, the things that are deep down and internal. Well, sometimes at a certain point in life, they start literally leaking out through our pores. And some people really have physical manifestations. Their body kind of takes the hit for emotions that aren't dealt with. And so even though it seems like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, light your mattress on fire, you know, throw away everything. I mean, people go to those kinds of lengths, and when you still can't figure it out, you know, then you have to do something more. Now, with the medication, you've gained some relief. And see, with Zoloft, and then they added Abilify, that augments the Zoloft. But I'm wondering, and I'm not a medical doctor or a psychiatrist, but I'm wondering just if maybe that you've hit a plateau with the medication. But so that's where sometimes they have to make changes. But even so, I think doing the medication along with therapy would give you more lasting results. Because to be able to kind of reflect, I mean, there's no harm in reflecting on your life and making some connections. You know, at the very least, you might discover some other things.
Yeah, that's true.
But at the most, it could relieve the problem entirely.
Let's hear, Henry, your experience with people struggling with this biting sensation on the skin.
Well, I think you guys are right on the money. I would, you know, certainly, though, whenever you've got any kind of physical problem, it's a good idea to go to the specialty that deals with that part of the body. So there should be a dermatologist in here somewhere. And so I would at least want her to, you know.
To check it out medically.
Yeah, but I think, Jill, what you were saying about, you know, when medication relieves something, then that kind of tells us, you know, medication relieves something. So
yeah.
when it comes back, and you're exactly right, a number, for whatever reason, with certain number of people, a number of medications like antidepressants that she was taking, they kind of hit this period where they don't work for that person anymore. But the good news is there's many, many more in the same class that can be, you know, worked into the mix, and they will work. So I would go tell the psychiatrist that. But I don't think it's ever a great idea. I shouldn't say ever, but, you know, if you're taking medication that affects moods and anxiety and weird symptoms of anxiety, which this sounds like it could be, then you should be in therapy to work out the issues that, you know, that relate to that. So I just agree with you guys. I just agree. I didn't say disagree.
Thank you, Henry.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yes, thank you so much.
I just totally agree.
Okay, we get that now. All right. Well, I hope that that's helpful. And, you know, let me send you a copy of How People Grow by Dr. Henry Cloud. I hope that that will help you in dealing with this and many, many other things. So God bless you there. And Henry said it, you know, at some point, somewhere, you need a dermatologist in there to take a look.
You just want to rule out everything, right? You don't want to overlook. I mean, it's like you can go to therapy, but if you have a brain tumor, that's not going to be the most helpful form of treatment. So,
and what if a topical ointment is something that could eliminate the sensation, you know, versus taking something internally? That's what I'd want to know about. So anyway, hope that's helpful. And let's see, let's go over here and let's talk with Ron, who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm okay. I didn't expect you to get on. I've called for years.
Well, surprise. It's your turn, Ron.
I'm here.
You've been waiting for years, you said, to get on?
I've been trying for years, yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Years. Never got through.
Oh,
yes, I'll try one more time.
Oh.
Well, you did it.
Good.
Well, great. How could we help?
My grandson, who lives with me, is 17 years old, and he steals from me regularly. We have to take my wallet to bed, have to hide the money. He stole my handguns. He's stolen antiques from me. Everything. Therapist, he's nowhere. Just circles, running around in circles, chasing my tail sort of.
So you're raising your grandson?
Yes. I'm 75 and he's 17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's a pain.
Yeah. Well, what does he say when you confront him about stealing?
He denies it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went to the police. Went to the police about it. And he arrested him and overnight and sent him to my probation. Me and his probation officer for about a year. It didn't do much good. I can't see it did much good.
Okay.
He steals from mother. He steals from his aunt. He steals from his grandmother. He yelled at the counter in church. He got the money out of church offering plates. And
that.
Wow, he's got a big.
I don't know what to do.
Is anybody trying to get him some help?
He's been a therapist. Mm-hmm. He has a therapist. Could he mental health to help him? But doesn't seem to get a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't helped going to therapy.
Pardon?
It hasn't helped. You're saying?
Doesn't seem to me it has. I can't see it has proved anything.
Okay.
My wristwatch is still missing.
No,
I had two $35, $40 wristwatches. I had an $18.90 half-dollar Standing Liberty worth $300 or $400. It's gone. I had some dimes I saved up, silver dimes. They're gone.
Okay, so do you think your grandson is really angry?
I don't think so. I don't know. Just kleptomaniac, they call it.
The kleptomaniac, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they call it. I don't understand the term. That's what they call it, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, a kleptomaniac is simply somebody who takes whatever they can. They see something, they want it, they see it as theirs. And it falls under obsessive compulsive disorders. So there isn't that, thinking about the person, that cause and effect, like if I take this, something's going to happen, or this is wrong, this would be hurtful. It's they can take it, and so they do. And there's even kind of a thrill in the taking of it. I don't know that just regular therapy would be the thing for your grandson, but it kind of sounds like he does do whatever he wants, and I'm wondering if he has any, if you're able to talk to him at all about it.
Let's get an opinion from Henry here,
okay.
And then we'll go back to Ron and see if he's able to talk about it. Henry, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to him because what a great grandfather to step up and step in there when it sounds like this kid had nobody else. But I would want to know a few questions. I would want to know a little bit about what the community leverage around this child is like. You know, if you've got a good way to sort of circle the wagons around a kid with a good youth pastor and a good youth group and a different peer environment and this, that, and the other, that's step number one, and you can use the power of those relationships. And he needs some models, that are in addition to his grandfather. And then the second thing, the consequences piece he hasn't really talked about.
Right.
And so this has got to start costing this kid in a way where he gets to the point of having to bend the knee and say, okay, I admit it, I'm wrong, I got to do something different. And for him to be allowed to steal and steal and steal and steal, somewhere there got to be some limits here. And then I would look at really strongly some sort of, and I was thinking, even almost like a teenage recovery group.
Right, right. That's what
therapy
I was thinking
didn't work.
Too.
Yeah, because he could treat mm-hmm. this, you know, in the same model you treat addictions. Who cares if it's not a substance? It gets him into the model of sitting in a circle with other kids who are doing things they're not supposed to do and processing their lives. And so I would suggest that.
Right, okay. Because there has to be looking at what is the meaning of this for this particular kid.
Right, because obviously he's had a bunch of stuff happen in his life, mm-hmm. and he's filling some sort of hole inside or acting out, as you said, Jill, some mm-hmm. sort of anger. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and ultimately, there's got to be some consequences, and if that means something to do with the law, then that's got to come in here, because he's yeah. got to stop
right,
this.
Right, which I think that has come into the picture.
So you need, when things like this happen, you need to implement consequences while at the same time letting that person know that you absolutely care about them, that
right.
you love them, that you want the best for them. And that's...
It almost, you know, would be helpful for the family to go to therapy, like the grandfather, to get help in the parenting.
Yeah. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and hope that you realize this is the summer, and we do need some folks to step up and help us here. It's always a tough time when people go on vacation. They forget. But Club New Life is a monthly giving program, and I hope and pray that you will pray about it, consider it, and maybe God is leading you to support this ministry. I want to talk to one of our supporters, and his name is David. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Steve.
How you doing? Good to talk
Good.
To you. You've been around New Life for a long time.
Yeah, quite a bit of time.
And just maybe tell us if New Life has benefited you or why you hang around, all
yeah,
that
yeah.
stuff.
Why have you been here for so long?
Yeah, sure. About, I guess, over 7 years ago now, we've been listening to the radio before that, but about 7.5 years ago, the problem I had came to a head, and it was a problem with pornography, and I just, you know, we were at the end of our rope, so we called New Life to get a counselor, and they hooked us up with a really great counselor in our area, and for the last seven plus years, we've actually been seeing him, and it's really helped tremendously with our marriage, and it's put us back together where before the counseling and everything, we were just a mess, you know, with this problem.
Now, the Everyman's Battle stuff that you did, how did that fit in with, you know, getting you two back together?
I mean, I think the counseling, Everyman's Battle is great. It's a great program to get you started. And the counseling really gets to the deeper areas where, you know, the character defects that I had and why I went to pornography in the first place. And that really drew out a lot of those deep areas that, that needed healing.
And over the years, you've really been a major supporter of ours through Club New Life. One of the highest Club New Life members. Why do you support the ministry?
Well, because I think this ministry just helps so many people and all over the country and all over the world. It's one of the greatest outreach ministries that I know of today that can just cross so many barriers, so many denominations of Christianity, and in the secular world, too. It helps so many people that it's just a great mouthpiece for the message that you guys have there.
Well, thank you for that. And anything else you want to add before we go?
Yeah, I just want to share that if anyone is looking for counseling and is struggling right now, whatever area in your marriage or personal life, just call, you know, New Life, and they'll hook you up with a great counselor like they did for us, and it just made all the difference for us.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well, thank
to
you
hear,
so
David.
Much. Really appreciate it, David. Mm-hmm. And you heard him there. I mean, you know, you can sit around and you can say, oh, gosh, I hope things get better, or try some home remedy or whatever. Or you could just call us and let us find a counselor for you. It could change everything. Let's go to Beverly in Los Angeles, California. She's listening on KKLA. Hi, Beverly. Welcome to New Life. Hello, Beverly. Beverly? Maybe Beverly's ordering something at a restaurant or something like that. I don't know. Maybe we'll come back to her. And let's go to Esther. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Well, okay. Steve, I wanted to just comment since we were waiting for Beverly. Ron, who called about his grandson. And just to say that, you know, that was one of those calls. It is really difficult to assess fully, you know, just over the airways, what is going on, because so many things can be going on. And I know with all of these calls that there's so much more to the picture and the story. And that's why it's so important to really look at, okay, what does this behavior mean? Because there's always meaning behind behavior. But then also you have to address the behavior, because that is, you know, it's unacceptable to be stealing. And I know that they've done lots of things, but I really heard Ron's helplessness in it, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, that he is in need of great support. And so, you know, that's where I was saying, sometimes as a parent or a caretaker or whatever your position, you go get the help you need. And then that will trickle down to the person you're trying to help.
Right. And the fact is, if you're dealing with a tough situation, you often need someone to walk through that.
You need a team. This is something serious. And this kid is 17. I mean, to intervene before he becomes an adult, where the consequences are even greater.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if Beverly's on there from KKLA. Beverly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How can we help you today? Yes, we can. Thanks for calling.
How are you guys?
Good. Really good. Thank you.
I am so happy to get through to you guys.
Well, we are happy for you to be here.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, my question is, I've been dating a gentleman for a year. He's a very nice Christian man, which I really like. And he broke up with me five weeks ago. He says that I'm too sensitive and emotional. And what had happened is he got angry and wanted to leave, and I didn't want him to leave, so I was basically trying to tell him, you know, just relax, sit down, don't leave. And I was basically doing everything I could to not let him leave, because I didn't want him to walk out on everything. And he did, and I regret acting like that. And I just wanted to know what to do, basically, to reconcile. And he's not wanting to talk to me. I'm emailing and texting and not getting a response.
I think you're one of the luckiest people in the world.
Why is that?
Well, it doesn't feel like that.
No, it feels hurtful. But
you've discovered something about him
right.
before you got more entangled with him. And if you had married him, I think it would have been a big disaster for you because of his black and white or intolerant attitude. We'll talk more about it right after this.
Okay.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and Beverly's boyfriend, she wanted him to stay, and he says you were just too emotional and broke up and won't return phone calls or anything like that. Jill,
but
Henry,
Steve,
what do you guys think?
Steve,
yeah,
you were on to something there. You said that he did her a favor because, you know, better to have it happen now than in marriage. And, you know, people don't want to look at or believe that what's happening in their dating life will only be magnified in marriage. And so sometimes we need to look at those clues and those warnings. But it really sounds like, Beverly, that your boyfriend really has an inability to tolerate, you know, emotion. And, you know, so he may have been attracted to you if you tend to be a more emotional person, because there's lots of people that kind of live out their emotions vicariously. Mm-hmm. And so one person in the relationship kind of carries all the emotion, while the other one maybe carries all the stability. And so they can make a nice partnership, but in marriage, you know, Mylan talks about this all the time in his book, you end up with someone who's avoidant and then someone who's more emotional or who vacillates a lot. And that is a combination that leaves both people really feeling at a loss as to what to do.
Henry, any thoughts?
Well, you know, I was actually a little confused because she said that, you know, he said he was leaving, and so she got upset, and she wished she hadn't acted that way because it was almost like that was the event that made her, quote, too emotional. But he was already leaving before that, and so what I would want to know is, and she might try this, you know, just for her own growth. I would write the guy, and I would say, look, I, you know, understand if you're gone, and you know, I'd like to talk about it, but if you don't want to, that's fine. But would you at least do me the favor of just sending me an email and explaining to me how I'm too emotional and how I'm too sensitive, because if those things are true, I'd love to work on them. And I would have hoped that they would have been talking about this all along the way. And I think the challenge for her is going to be to take what all of this relationship was like, which means everything that she did and the ways that he responded to what she did, and go sit down with a really smart relationship person like Dr. Jill and say, here's what it looked like. And then that counselor say, well, you know what? You are lucky that this guy went away, because you were being normal and he just couldn't handle feelings. Or the relationship counselor is going to say, you know what, he should have handled it better than he did, and I want you to get your people picker fixed. But at the same time, you do have some patterns that would probably, mm-hmm. you know, not feel good to any man. And so those are things you need to work on. So I think there's a lot to be right. learned here. I'm really worried about her getting back together with somebody that would treat a breakup in this fashion.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that kind of pursuit that makes her look almost desperate by texting
right.
him and emailing, and, you know, that's only going to push him farther away.
All right. Right, I think I if her people picker were fully functioning, she, even if she had thought this guy was the best thing ever, the way he's handled this
right.
should make not wanting to go forward the first thing on her mind.
Well, right, and you don't want somebody back just because of that fear of abandonment that gets stirred up, like, I can't be left, I can't be alone. You know, that isn't why you want to draw back with somebody.
You got that right.
It only will be more of the same.
Okay. Once again, I want to say it. Better to discover these things
yeah.
on this side than the other side of a yeah. long-term
well, right,
commitment.
Right, because within marriage, you know, somebody doesn't have to leave to be abandoning. And that can feel horrible, to be yeah. emotionally alone within a marriage.
All right.
It really can. I think that all singles need to mm-hmm. to really, really think about the difference between you really want a relationship with that person versus you really need one. And if you need
yes.
one, then you better go get yourself worked on, because
mm-hmm.
needs are, those dependency needs can cause you to make bad decisions.
Right.
Now, Henry, this program is free to people. That was worth about $25 right there, mm-hmm. that little piece of
well,
advice.
You know, we've been trying to raise money for the program so the program
yeah.
can stay on the air. So anybody like that, send us a check for $25
yeah.
and we'll send
yeah,
you a lot more
right.
stuff, right, Steve?
If you implement
right.
that wisdom, $25 would be
boy,
great. All right, Henry, we're going to get back to you here in just one
Steve,
minute.
That's a good moment for you to hey, this is listener supported.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it is listener supported. And please, if you can, come and help us support this ministry by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or going to newlife.com. Let's go to Deb from Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Can you hear me? I have a headpiece.
Yes.
On.
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
We can.
All right. I spoke with a friend over the weekend, and he suggested that I call you guys. I didn't know of you, and he felt that you guys would be really able to help me and direct me in the right direction.
Okay.
Okay. My situation is I have had literally nothing but trauma in my life that began when I was in my mother's womb.
Okay. What was that trauma in the womb?
She told me she tried to get 5 abortions with me that she walked out of, and each one, and she also drank during her whole pregnancy with me.
Wow.
And,
wow,
and
yeah.
then she gave me up for adoption. So I am a middle-aged woman. I've been a born-again Christian for over 30 years, and I'm at a place in my life, I will spare you the gory details, but I'm at a place in my life, I'm so depressed, I don't want to be here anymore, but I'm so afraid of God, and I feel very, very angry at him for everything, and I don't want to, I wouldn't take my life because I don't want to stand before him because I'm horrified of him, and I'm angry at him.
Okay.
Hmm.
And so your question for us is what then?
I'm in a vicious cycle. I get on my knees every morning and I repent of all this. And by the end of the day, I've committed it all over again, and I don't know how God could love someone like me who is angry at him. I mean, really, really angry.
Well, it's going to be hard for you to reverse any of that on your own. Now, this friend mm-hmm. that told you to call us, tell us mm-hmm. about that friendship that you have.
He's a friend of mine. I've known him and his wife since our boys were 3 years old, and our boys are 34 now. And we're friends, the three of us, and we were talking, and I shared that I don't want to be in life anymore, but I wouldn't do anything because I'm too afraid to stand before God. And he just said that he's been listening to you, and he really feels that you could help me. And
yeah, well, the reason
I'm
asking
the first person that has called in with something like this.
Right. Well, the reason I'm asking about the friendship is mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if these are people that are in your life all the time, or are they just in your life when you reach that point of despair?
They're in my life, but they live out of state.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Who's regularly in your life?
Who are you connecting with on a regular basis in your backyard?
Well, in a very superficial way, my small group at church, they don't know of this because they don't feel like I could share it with them.
Why couldn't you share this with a small group?
Well, because who wants to hear you're angry at God when you think you got your good Christian medal on?
People in a small group want to.
But a lot of times a group stays superficial because nobody's willing to risk. And it's amazing. One person kind of takes a step, puts their toe in the water of risking a little bit more. And it's amazing what it does to the whole group dynamics. And that's everybody was just waiting for somebody to get a little deeper. So, and you know, people who are depressed chronically often feel like people don't want to hear it. Because you're tired of hearing it. You're tired of living it. Why would you want to do that to all of your friends? And it feels like, you know, you want to get away from you, so they would probably want to get away from you too. And yet it's when we bring those parts of ourselves that are so unlovable into that relationship, it's when that starts to change. And without that, it's just walled off, and that anger will get bigger and bigger like mm-hmm. it has.
All right, I want you to hold on. We'll hear from Henry about this particular situation when we come back. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need help or if you could help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We need your help to stay on the air this summer. So please, if God is leading you, call us.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we've been talking about this cycle we get into where we're in a hopeless cycle, and Deb is angry at God. She's had a lot of trauma, and she goes to a small group but doesn't feel like she should share with them. Henry, what are your thoughts?
Well, whoops, is that working, Steve? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I had thoughts on a lot of different levels. First of all, and if she's still listening, my heart goes out to her because she's literally caught in a prison. Mm-hmm. And the good news is we really understand that prison, and there's help for that prison. But here's the way it works. You have been hurt. You haven't had basic needs met, and you've had a lot of bad things happen to you. Now, when that happens, if you just picture a little baby, that's the best picture of this, that's not being picked up, what do? They get enraged. They protest. And what happens to a caring or to a protesting baby when there's a caring somebody else in the house? They go and they pick up that screaming baby and they take that baby to their breast. Mm-hmm. And through that process, that anger and rage at the uncaring world begins to diminish.
That's right.
So here's what happens when that doesn't happen, that anger and that rage gets even stronger, and it gets so strong that little kid begins to fear retaliation from the outside world for its own cry for help. And that's what psychologists refer to as a need-fear dilemma. The greater my need, the more fear I have because of all of this hurt and all the things that have happened to me, but also because of my own rage. So here's the deal. The only way to break that cycle is not by you don't ask a baby to repent of their anger unless you're from one of those psycho parenting systems.
Yeah, really?
Right.
You know, screaming baby is bad. You don't ask a baby to do that. What do? You fill the heart of that baby with so much healing and love and care that they just begin to calm down. And that's never happened in this circle that Deb is caught in.
That's right.
And so, Deb, you got to get with somebody that understands that process. And I'm going to remind you of something from the Bible. Job was the model of the screaming baby. In that he was the, you know, all of his Christian friends came and said basically what you said. Job, you need to repent of all this complaining you're doing. If you'd know the word better, if you trust God more, if you knew his precepts, if you would get the sin far away from you, if you would let his righteousness be your guard. It's like a trip through a Christian bookstore. All those that advice that Job's friends were giving him, when what Job said was that he trusted God enough that he would give full vent to his complaint. And he just let it fly. Mm-hmm. And then God embraced him and said, Job, you know, you hadn't got it all right, but I'm here. And in the end, Job's the one that got all the cows back. And his friends were getting in trouble. So you've got to get somewhere where people can hear you and understand. It's going to be more than a small group, but you need a small group that you can be in where you can say this. I would hate to be in a small group that I couldn't say to people, you know, I'm really bugged with God right now. That ought to be good in any small group.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, having to go and look good just makes it worse.
I think a lot of times we think that a small group
Jill, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I go on this entire rant, right?
Yeah.
And in one phrase, you sort of like sum it up, you know. Having to go and look good. How did you put it?
Having to go and look good, you know, just makes
doesn't
it
help
worse.
At all. Okay, no. So there's your summary.
Well, I wanted to comment on my small group. I have a small group, and the other day, a guy's there, and who would do this in a small group? But he says, "Hey, you guys, the other night we were out, and I was drinking, and man, I just drank too much, and it's not the first time, and my wife has really been trying to help me tone this thing down, and I need help." Now, that's what we want to happen in a small group, is a guy comes along and says, I got a problem with drinking. And I believe that if you give your small group a chance, they really might latch on and give you the kind of nurture that you need. But I'll tell you, well said, both of you,
well,
why this isn't getting better.
Yeah, and Henry, the need-fear dilemma that you mentioned, you know, makes it so scary. I mean, she's already rejected herself before she's even put herself out there in the group.
Right.
You know, so we don't even know how that group would respond, but that fear is so great for her.
Yeah, and that's the dynamic. You know, emotionally, we see the same thing that you see in the parable of talents. It's the one that had the least amount of talents that was the most fearful, and that's
right.
The way life is. Where we
yes.
feel confident, we go invest ourselves, and we get a great return. But the one that had the one buried it in the ground because afraid of the reaction that they were going to get from the outside, and we got to step out in faith and take those risks, even though it can be very scary, but that's how you get healed.
Absolutely.
Amen. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, and I do want to send Healing is a Choice. What else would be a good book to send Deb?
I think Changes
That
Heal.
Would
give her
yeah.
some real clues into some of that prison.
Mm-hmm.
It gives her a chance to change and choose.
Well, and the grace and truth that
yeah,
Henry explains
right.
is really good.
Yeah. So we're going to get that to you. I pray that you will not give up. God is not giving up on you. And the feelings that you're feeling are kind of predictable for someone who's been through what you've been through. And it certainly isn't God's anger that you're experiencing. It's what anybody would feel.
Well, right. And right. Deb can't handle her own anger, but God can. God's much bigger than that.
There's a wonderful verse, Luke 6:38 says, "To give and you will receive. You will be given much, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will spill into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you." Now, it's really hard to misinterpret that. The way you give to others is the way that God is going to give to you. And I think at the end of the whatever the spectrum is on growing up and maturing and being spiritual, I think at the end of that, there is a generous freedom that comes where we are free to be generous with our time, with our lives, with our money. And I'm hoping and praying that you are there, that you feel free to be generous with the resources that God has given to you. And if God is leading you to support this ministry, we're trying to help people that are broken, or we're trying to prevent people from being broken, then please support us if you want to do that too. You can do that by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you can go to newlife.com, and you can find right there a button, and you push it, and you can give that way. Or you could drop us a letter with your check in it to P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. That's P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Thank you, Henry, for joining us by phone. Really appreciate you and that you did that.
Good to be with y'all.
And my thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard. If you've listened to the program today, you've been on with, in my mind, the two wisest people that I know. Of course, if it's in my mind, then that would be make sense that it would be people I know. Anyway, we love you. We care about you. We're grateful
we love you,
for
Steve.
You. Thank you, Jill. See you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.